If you are looking for even more help and guidance on your breakup, I have a few different options for you to take your healing to the next level. I have 4 different online courses depending on what stage of the breakup that you're in, from beginning all the way into moving on after heartbreak. Or you can bundle all of my courses together and use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. I also have my 30-day no contact challenge to help hold you accountable in going no contact with your ex. And we have our free Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with other people going through breakups all over the world. To learn more about any of these resources, head to the show notes where you can learn more about my courses, take the quiz to figure out which course is best for you, or join the Facebook group. And don't forget to use the code PODCAST to get $25 off my course bundle. Welcome to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast with your host, Breakup Bestie, aka me, Kendra. Breakups are hard, but you don't have to do it alone. Each week, I will be taking you through a different topic as it relates to breaking up, healing from heartbreak, growing in your single life, dating, and getting back into happier and healthier relationships. The goal of this show is to provide support, hope, tips, and to remind you that above all, this too shall pass. Welcome back to another expert episode of the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. Today we are talking about narcissism, but in a slightly different way than we've had other guests on. Obviously, this is a very highly talked about topic at the moment, but today we are not just talking about narcissism. We are talking about how to negotiate, how to work with narcissists, how to communicate with them. And today I have on Rebecca Zung, who is a top negotiation expert, a very highly successful lawyer, and an author. And her focus is on strategies for dealing with narcissists and high conflict personalities. So in her career, she learned how to work with narcissists so she could beat them in the courtroom for her clients. And through that, learned so much about, and this is what we talk about in the episode, we learn a lot about how narcissists operate. And the more that you are aware and the more that you know about them, the better you can handle them or disarm them. So I think this episode, regardless of if you're going through a separation with a narcissist or not, it's very great info just so you know how to deal with them if you do encounter them in the future, or if you have one in your family or your boss is one, learning how to deal with them and how to think about them in a different way. We talk a lot about how a lot of the time, if we can see a narcissist as a toddler having a tantrum, how that can really change the trajectory of how you feel about them and how you're dealing with them. So I loved having Rebecca on. She's very, very knowledgeable on the topic. And she talked about a lot of great resources in the episode, which are going to be linked in the show notes. Welcome, Rebecca, to the Heal Your Heartbreak podcast. It is very exciting and an honor to have you on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor for me too.
So I would love to hear, obviously, you've been a very impressive, successful attorney for a long time. What clicked for you that started drawing you towards becoming very interested in this topic of narcissists? I mean, dealing with high net worth divorces, obviously you were in, you know, dealing with a lot of narcissists, but I would love to hear, did you have like a light bulb moment on it?
Well, initially I would say I really wanted to start researching it because a lot of people were saying that they were dealing with a narcissist. So I wanted to start researching more about the topic so I could beat them in the courtroom, so that I could beat them in litigation. And I mean, you know, years ago, we used to say that all of the husbands would say their wives were crazy. All of the wives would say their husbands were controlling. And then more and more, we would hear the term narcissist. And it wasn't really a word that was thrown around as much until the last several years. And so I really wanted to dive into what that meant. But then in the last couple of years, I actually had merged my practice with a couple of other guys and was getting involved with more entrepreneurial endeavors. And I found myself in a partnership with somebody who turned out to be a female covert narcissist. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I didn't even know that that personality type existed, but it was not one that was fun for me at all. And so somebody said to me, oh, that person's a covert passive aggressive narcissist. I didn't even know that thing existed. So I started really researching that. And then I started applying that to my cases. And it was like I had discovered penicillin. I started to see real movement in the cases. And that was when I knew I was really onto something.
It's incredible. And it's such an interesting lens to look at narcissism through, is one of a lawyer, of how do I beat this person in a courtroom? Not so much looking at, there's a lot of stuff on, you know, psychiatrists or psychologists on this topic, but what were some of your more surprising findings when you did dive into the research on narcissists?
So it's really a result of trauma, right? So, I mean, all of us act in certain ways as a result of trauma. I have a friend who's a trauma expert, and she's like, if you don't consciously make a decision, trauma is going to make the decisions for you. And, you know, I thought that was such an enlightening way of thinking about life. And so trauma is, you know, what happens when we are in fight or flight, then our brains emit chemicals, which is adrenaline, cortisol. And then as children, when that happens on a regular and continuous basis, then that cortisol can actually cause permanent damage to the emotional center of the brain, that limbic system part of the brain. And so it causes arrested development. So when they grow up, there's actually a lag in development between the neocortex, which is the thinking, reasoning, judgment part of the brain, and the limbic system part of the brain. So when they become triggered, that it actually shuts down that reasoning part of the brain. And now you're only dealing with full-on emotion. And so they're making decisions from emotion, and they don't even realize that. So what happens is, it's called narcissistic injury. And when that becomes triggered, they don't even realize the collateral damage that they're causing to others during that period of time, because it literally shuts down that cortex and it causes narcissistic blindness. And now you're dealing with that. You're dealing with this full-on person who will literally take themselves down. They will self-sabotage in order to cause harm to the other person that they are now in, they consider to be on the other side. And with a narcissist, they only have this black and white thinking. You're either for me or against me. You're either, it's not, there's no gray, and it happens on a dime. They turn on a dime. And so it's so different. Their brain, the way they think, the way they act, the way they interact with people is very, very different than a rational person. A rational person is motivated by a lot of different things, but narcissists are not. And so it was very, very fascinating for me to dive into this research, because as a lawyer, as a person who's dealing in negotiations on a regular basis, to see this in action, I would think, why is this person willing to burn their own business to the ground just so that they don't have to pay alimony? Didn't make any sense to me, but that's what was actually happening. And so you have to have a different type of a strategy when you're dealing with a full-blown narcissist. You have to.
I heard you mentioning on another podcast that, I mean, they're driven by emotion, and it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's usually the emotional capacity of like a child in some cases, right? So if we think of like a toddler having a tantrum, it can be very similar in the fact where they act out in such a way that it does take them back to maybe the age that they were when the trauma happened. And so they're driven by emotion, but not a developed emotional capacity, correct?
Yes, exactly. And if you think about like a toddler who's having a tantrum, the way they act is you know, I'll just scream louder. I'll just scream harder. You know, if I want that bottle or if I want that thing, whatever it is that mommy and daddy is not going to give me, I'll just kick more. I'll just be more of a petulant child or whatever it is, because if they give in, then I'll get what I want. And that's why I always say a narcissist is always the worst right before they're ready to give up, because that's how a toddler is, right? They're always the worst right before they're ready to give up. That I don't want to take a nap. I don't want to do the thing, whatever it is. And that's how they are. And so what happened is at the beginning of a relationship, they were conditioning you, you know, oh, are they going to do something if I don't pay them back the money or, you know, show up on time or whatever it is that they're conditioning you about, right? And then as time goes on, their boundaries become, you know, over here, they're conditioning you, conditioning you, conditioning you. So when you are now conditioning them back, you're showing up in a different way. You're showing that you're going to not be the person that they expect you to be. Well, they're not going to like it, of course. So you have to just kind of baby step it and start off with, hey, starting today, I'm not going to be spoken to in a way that's disrespectful. Here's how it's going to go. Whenever we're having an interaction, we're going to be calm. This is the manner. I can see that you're upset. I can see that this is not going to work out. This approach is not working for me, but we can resume this conversation later when we're both calm. That's okay. But that's the first boundary.
Okay. And what I was, when I was thinking about this interview, it was this idea of, I don't know if the right term is winning against a narcissist, but what does it look like to win against a narcissist? Because I think for some people, it's, I want to change them. I want to, like, what does it look like to win? Because I think a lot of us are probably, and, you know, in my experience of being with a full-blown narcissist, I think I was playing the wrong game, or I had the wrong objective with it. And so I was always losing because I was trying to either admit that they were wrong or admit that they did this. But it seems to me that that's not the play. So what does it even look like to win against a narcissist?
Well, forget about closure. Yeah. Forget about getting them to acknowledge you or see your side or get them to do, you know, anything like, and I always say the F's of narcissists, right? Forget about closure. Forget about getting them to see your side. Forget about getting them to acknowledge you. You know, they're not going to do those things, but you can get them to do the things you want. It's just not going to be the exact way that you think you're going to get it. Exactly. I mean, you know, what you have to do is build a strategy. It's my SLAY methodology. Build a strategy where you're looking at the goal that you want, envisioning what it is that you want, and then figuring out how you're going to create that leverage to get there. And the leverage is going to be built around narcissistic supply. So narcissistic supply, I always say there's two levels of supply. So the two levels of supply are diamond level supply, which is how they look to the world. That's always going to be around reputation. It's around their face, their pride, the window dressing, right? And then the coal level supply is their, that dark underbelly. It's that manipulation. It's smearing you. It's that, that pushing you down to make themselves feel better. And so there's always going to be that element too, but they will let go of that only if they have to, only if they have to. And so in a negotiation, they want to keep both. They definitely want to keep both. And they will only let go of that coal level supply if there's some level of the leverage that is threatening that source of supply that's more important for them to protect than the supply that they're getting from manipulating you. And that's that diamond level supply. That's that reputation. So you got it. That diamond level supply will inform that coal level supply, will inform your whole strategy. So you got to figure out, okay, what's their diamond level supply first? And then you can build documentation leverage around that. So it might be, you know, summary of lies of an inconsistent statements or summaries of how many times they showed up late. So how many times they didn't pay on time or whatever it is, but how can you kind of make them look bad?
Got it.
You know, into whoever they don't want to look bad in front of. It may be their new source of supply, maybe their new girlfriend, it may be their new boss, it may be the judge, it may be the mediator, maybe all of the above.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. That's very interesting that that's what, because it, I mean, just from my experience with narcissists, it makes sense that there is, they will prioritize how they look to other people, but do they always need a source of both? So if, let's say if, you know, someone's dealing with a breakup from a narcissist, there's a reason I would assume where they move on really quickly because they need to find that new kind of coal supply.
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to need both at all times.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I want to talk like more specifically too about the element of ending a relationship with a narcissist. And in my experience, and then in so many of my listeners' experiences, it's always baffling to the person of how, especially when you're on the other side of it, how hard it is to get away from a narcissist, whether you're tied in with a marriage and need to get a divorce, or you just are, you know, a boyfriend and girlfriend who need to break up. What makes it so difficult to get away from a narcissist, even with all the evidence that you might have from your experience, or, you know, kind of playing the tape through of what happens when you get back together? Why is it so hard?
Because they're not going to give up their supply willingly.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter anything. What, yeah, no matter what form it is. It's almost like those jars of jelly on the shelf or whatever, that peanut butter on the shelf, whatever it is. I mean, it's like if there's something left to be had there, they're going to keep it no matter what, because they're so fear-based. They're so like they have to hold on to whatever supply source they've got. And if all that's left there is coal level supply and they can, there's something of manipulation of something to be gained by making you squirm, by seeing you sweat, by, if that's the only form of supply left, they don't care. They'll take it.
It is so normal for changes in your hormones, aka your period, to make a breakup feel that much harder, which is why I'm so excited to share Hormone Harmony with you from Happy Mammoth. My hormones have been on a wild ride the past 3 years with my pregnancies, and my PMS was getting to be so difficult to manage. With Hormone Harmony, I love that it supports hormonal balance and regulation, promotes healthy weight loss and curbing carb cravings, improves sleep quality, and reduces occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens, which help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. With over 17,000 reviews and over 2.2 million customers, Hormone Harmony's biggest feedback is women feeling like themselves again, which I know you'd like to experience too. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code HEARTBREAK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code HEARTBREAK for 15% off today. I don't know about you, but I am ready to be done with the heat and ready for sweatshirt weather. Whether you're excited about sweaters, pumpkin everything, or decorating for Halloween, Pair Eyewear offers infinite possibilities starting at just $60, including a prescription. Plus, you get 15% off by using code HEARTBREAK at PairEyewear.com. I was so excited to shop for and receive my Pair Eyewear sunglasses. They are so cute, and I picked up different colored top frames that snap right on so I can change my look in seconds. Not only do they have sunglasses like I got, but they have prescription glasses too. I've been wearing my pink clear frames as we near the end of summer and will be swapping those out with my tortoise and black top frames as the weather cools off. When you're going through a breakup, it's fun to switch up routine and style, and you can fall into a new routine with infinite possibilities from Pair Eyewear. Go to paireyewear.com and use code HEARTBREAK for 15% off your first pair. And support the show by mentioning that Heal Your Heartbreak sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's Pair, P-A-I-R, eyewear.com, code HEARTBREAK.
Saving money at Menards. October is fire safety month. From smoke and carbon monoxide alarms to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide alarms are perfect for your living spaces and doubles the detection and protection. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah. I was going to ask, so you had mentioned that there's, you kind of touched on the beginning, the different types of narcissists. Does each type get off on something different, or are they all kind of trying to get the same thing?
Well, I mean, they're all trying to get the same thing, which is supply. They just go about it in different ways.
Okay. Would you mind touching on the different kinds?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different kinds, but the kinds that you hear about the most are covert, grandiose, malignant. So a malignant narcissist is what I call like a Darth Vader. There's an overlay of being a sociopath. That's the kind, like in a divorce situation, that they would have no problem accusing you of being a child molester if you never touched a kid. They'll go after your job. They'll stalk you. I mean, they're evil, basically. I would say the next kind would be your grandiose. That's the kind that I always thought of as a narcissist. Very impulsive, demanding, boastful, bragging. That's the kind that would be ignoring court orders overtly, out there fraudulently moving money. You can't even believe that they would just overtly do things, right? Demanding the best tables in the restaurant, telling everybody how great they are, overtly lying about things that are very readily verifiable. That's a overt narcissist, a grandiose. Okay. The covert narcissist, to me, is in some ways the most dangerous because they kind of appear as a victim a lot of times. They are passive aggressive. I call them the pearl clutchers. Like, oh, me, I would never yeah. do that. Are you what? They smear people a lot of times in terms of care. I'm just so worried about Susie and her drinking, just concerned for her. You know, she's just been so, you know, drinking a lot more lately. I think that she's got a lot going on, you know, and like, but she's really smearing Susie over there because yeah. Susie doesn't probably have any problem with drinking, like passive aggressive, like, oh, I don't know why you didn't end up on that email chain at work. I thought I put you on there. I don't know why you didn't end up at that meeting that you were supposed to be at. You know, I thought I put you on there. I was wondering why you weren't there. You know, very passive aggressive.
Yeah.
And people think they're so nice. They think they're so wonderful. They're the first ones that show up at the hospital with the big baskets. And there's an undertone of jealousy, an undertone of rage, very, very insecure people, but a lot of people don't see it.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense why that would be the most dangerous kind, because it's not overt. It's not something that you would necessarily expect, but there is a lot of, and this is what I always wondered, are narcissists in their way, are they plotting? Are they planning all of this stuff as they go? Or is this just something that innately comes to them?
I think it's kind of both a lot of times. But, you know, the thing about narcissists is that there's this undertone of deep, deep, deep insecurity. And because of that, there's this kind of manipulation thing going on all the time. And they just don't know anything else. They don't know anything else other than fear-based lying. Everything's about them, and they don't really know how to be completely transparent or how to be completely authentic, because everything's about survival for them. Mm-hmm. all the time. It's sort of like, you know, if you have a really bad toothache, all you can do is think about your tooth. You can't think about anybody else or anything else because all you can think about is your tooth. That's why they don't have any empathy, because all they can think about is themselves.
That makes a lot of sense.
Just on that same thought pattern, you know, just thinking about the victims of narcissists, you know, with them, they've been dealing with love bombing and devaluing and love bombing and devaluing. And so for them, they've got the whole dopamine, cortisol. And so for them, it actually makes their brain and their body is like crazy too. And so they have trouble thinking. They're in CPTSD. Their brain fog is crazy. And so the difficulty is that when they go to negotiate, people think, oh, they should be able to think clearly. They should be able to be fine. But they actually oftentimes look like the crazy ones. They often look like the one who's coming unglued or whatever. And the narcissist looks cool and calm. And part of the reason is because they've been at the effect of a narcissist for so long that they either can't think straight or they've been going crazy or whatever it is. And, you know, that's part of the reason why they really need to get their boundaries up as soon as possible, just so they can start to heal and start to think clearly.
Yeah. I remember what I was going to ask you is, does knowing the narcissist playbook help weaken the narcissist? Like, if you know what a narcissist is doing, is that something that is empowering towards you against the narcissist?
100%.
Okay.
I mean, I always say the narcissist is so much weaker than you. You are the stronger one. And they are actually the more scared one. And the more that you become empowered, the more that you become strong, the more that they actually start to back down, because they prey upon people who have weaknesses, that have like these loopholes, that have like these openings, and they look for that. It's almost like blood in the water. They look for that. And I always say it's like, once you know who you are, you become like Glinda the Good Witch in The Wizard of Oz, when she said to the Wicked Witch came around her and she was like, go away, you have no power here. And that's exactly how you are, because she knew who she was and she was all in her zone. And the Wicked Witch was like, oh my God, I'm getting away from her. Because she was like, so that's how you become. You're like flicking away like narcissists, like they're like some kind of a flea or something, because they look for people with vulnerabilities. And if you have none of those openings, there's that vulnerability doesn't exist there. Mm-hmm. They just move on to the next person.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. And talking about being able to like having that empowerment to know who you are, I feel like in some respects, like chicken or the egg kind of a question, because as someone who's been with a narcissist, they love to categorically break you down and take away all of your power. So getting to that place of feeling empowered when you've been with someone who has done everything in their power to suck all of yours out, how do you help people with that? Is it setting boundaries is the first step to gaining some of that power back? Is it just trying to get distance from the person? What do you recommend for someone who needs to get back in touch with their power so they are able to disarm the narcissist?
Mm-hmm. So I say step one, don't run. Step two, make a U-turn. Step three, break free. So step one, don't run is like that put that invisible shield down around you. And once that invisible shield is down around you, you can just sort of become like Teflon and start to see them almost like as a toddler having a tantrum on the floor. And that's when you can start to just observe their behavior to them. Right. Oh, I can see that you're upset. Okay. I can see that you're angry. Okay. We can have this conversation later. No matter what they say to you, no matter they can say, because they're going to look for that opening, right? They're looking for that Achilles heel. If they know that being a really good mom is important to you. They're going to say you're a horrible mother. You didn't feed them dinner or you didn't do their homework, whatever it is. They're, you're a deadbeat dad. You're, you know, if they know that integrity is important to you, they're going to say you're dishonest. You're horrible with money. You're, you know, they know what is important to you. So they're going to say that thing. So don't take the bait. So you just say, oh, thank you for the feedback. Oh, thank you. That's an interesting approach. Whatever it is. Or you can just say something like, oh, that's interesting. What makes you say that? You can just get curious instead of angry. You just get curious. Oh, that's an interesting perspective. Oh, what makes you say that? Just like that. Don't get angry. And just invisible shield, Teflon. I have a sales guy on my team and he's nicknamed himself Teflon Tom. You know, so you just Teflon. And then that's your first step. So I always give people, so I have phrases for disarming narcissists that people can get at disarmthenarc.com if they want them. It's for their free. So
I'll link that in the show notes.
Yeah. So disarmthenarc.com. And so you just get them, you know, say them for whatever. And then just start to see that no matter who you are, I always say if it's your boss, your mom, whoever it is, you are entitled to respect, period. And so that's the very first step. And so I always have short-term goals, long-term goals. So your first short-term goal is respect, period. And then your long-term goal is your vision. Where is it that you're going? What is it that you want? And then, you know, maybe even a longer-term goal. Where is it that you want to be a year from now? You know, is it house on the beach with that, you know, gorgeous girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever it is that you want? But short-term goal is first step. Step one, don't run. And then you can start to create that leverage. Then you can start to create where it is that you're going.
Okay. And for someone, so just running through a couple different scenarios here, as you know, people listening to this are likely in a separation or going or thinking about separation with a narcissist. If you are someone who, let's say, doesn't have financial ties or doesn't have a reason to continue to be tied to the narcissist, is the best thing that they can do and then completely no contact, do not answer their calls. Is that the best way to disarm them in that regard? Or will they just keep trying?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see, if they're really a full-blown narcissist, I don't see the reason to stay involved. Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, there's some real reason that you need to, because you're not, what are you getting out of it? I mean, yeah. You know, they're not, it's not a mutual relationship of joy. I mean, they're not going to help you vibrate higher. They're not going to probably bring joy and light. And I just try to keep my circle something that's going to bring me joy and lightness and enlightenment in my life.
I agree so much. I'm hoping having an expert in the topic say it will help people follow through with that of not maintaining contact if they don't have to. But there are a lot of people that do have to have some sort of contact, whether that's going through a divorce or, you know, I think the biggest case is co-parenting with a narcissist. Do you have any advice for, you know, after the divorce, when there has to be, you know, contact for the next 10, 15 years or whatever that, however old their kids are?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, I mean, most of the time I say send them light, but over there. But when you have a co-parent, it's really a lot of times a counter-parent, you know, they're not co-anything. Mm-hmm. So very definitely have as much of a specific agreement as possible, because wherever your vague areas are, wherever your gray areas are, that's where they're going to make your life as miserable as possible. So definitely keep it as specific as possible. So make sure that the agreement says, you know, Friday to Sunday at this time to this time, who's driving which direction. And then I would definitely recommend having a parenting coordinator appointed as well, because you do want somebody other than having to run back to the judge every single time that there's going to be an issue, because there is going to be an issue. There are going to be issues. I mean, there's going to be a wedding that's going to come up. There's going to be family reunion or a field trip or something that's going to happen. And you don't want to have to go to the judge every single time. You want to have somebody that you can go to help you resolve the issues. So that I really do recommend that you have a parenting coordinator to help you with that. So that's one thing. And then I have a parenting plan masterclass that, you know, in my masterclass, I have like, I think it's like 12 must-haves that I think that you should have in any agreement, and like 13 I recommend that you should have in any agreement. I don't remember what all of them are off the top of my head, but I do recommend that. It's a really inexpensive masterclass, and it's like $100 or something. I just totally really recommend that, because in there, I also talk about when you should get a custody evaluator, all the things that you should look at in a custody evaluator, when you should have, how to get full custody if you want, if you're looking for that, how to do relocation if you're looking for that. So I do recommend that. If you are looking for that, website for that is breakingfreefromdivorce.com. Okay. And I have like little masterclasses on there for stage one, stage two, and stage three. I don't usually talk about those masterclasses all that much, but they're really, really good. Those are like the very first things that I ever recorded like years ago. And they're so good. Like they're usually like just little upsells in my slayer negotiation courses, but they're really, really good.
I mean, especially going back to what you were saying about being about how a narcissist will take things down around them in order to win. I mean, unfortunately, I imagine a lot of the time that is like the kids are victims in that. So I feel like if you are dealing with a father, mother of your parent, of your children that is a narcissist, it's very important to be as well equipped in that as possible. So you don't have to have your kids be, you know, like even more the victims in that situation than they already have to be.
Yeah. I have a sample parenting plan in there too. And there's a lot of good stuff in there. So if people are really interested in that, I would definitely recommend that.
Okay. And last thing that I wanted to ask, just another scenario, is I do have, you know, people that work with exes. And so they're navigating both a romantic ending and plus having to work with, you know, a narcissist in a workplace. Is that something that you touch on in the, like in the Slay kind of framework there, is dealing with in the workplace? Cause I feel like that's probably very common.
Totally. I mean, I have slayer negotiation with a narcissist in business too. So I have a specific course just for that, but my slayer negotiation with a narcissist general course works for everything as well. And then for anybody who's interested in being a coach, you know, my high conflict negotiation certification is a great course for anybody who's interested in being a coach. And, you know, I teach people how to, you know, go from zero to six figures and how to build a you know, an actual career in coaching. It's a really awesome certification for anybody who's interested in that too.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your very valuable expertise. I know you mentioned a couple websites, but what's your main website or Instagram, or what's the best way for someone to connect with you to kind of see all of your offerings?
My main website is RebeccaZung.com. I'm so excited because it's about to be relaunched. And hopefully by the time this comes out, it'll be completely relaunched. And my YouTube is RebeccaZung.tv, and my Instagram is at RebeccaZung.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. I'll link everything that you mentioned in the show notes, but really, really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you loved it, I hope you'll leave a review and share with your friends. If you're not already following me on Instagram, head to @yourbreakupbestie, where I'm sharing new content almost every day. To join our Facebook group, Healing Hearts Club, where you can connect with thousands of people from all over the world going through breakups, head to the link in the show notes. And don't forget to check out my online courses for more in-depth help through your healing journey. I always end these episodes the same way, reminding you to be nice to yourself, stay connected with loved ones, and the biggest reminder is that this too shall pass. I promise.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.